God is brought us into a new season, and if you're here today, you're not here by accident. It's not because God wants to do something new in your life, it's because he is doing something new in your life, and you got to catch up to what he's doing. And so we're looking at what it means to understand that in Christ there are always greater days ahead, and that's not a Hallmark moment, that's a biblical fact, and we're going to look at that today in the Word of God so we understand what it is to live in greater days. Of course, I want to remember all of our online viewers and our church family can be here. We love you. We're praying for you. And I also want us to remember the obviously all our brothers and sisters in Florida right now who, you know, they're worshiping today and they're praying today. And, you know, I don't know if they've got electricity right now. I don't know if they can gather together with other believers today. And so we always need to remember when we're in worship today that the God that is blessing us is also looking a lot on a lot of other hurting people who need his compassion and his grace. And so as I begin the sermon today, we're going to pray and we're going to be in John chapter 1. You can turn there in your Bibles. But let's also remember our brothers and sisters in Florida right now. And so let's just offer a word of prayer. Lord, you're the God who is always watching over the hurting. Lord, there are a lot of times we can get pretty self-centered and think about our comfort, our day, our sermon that we're going to be listening to. But Lord, there's a whole world that you care about. And Lord, we never want to isolate ourselves and forget that, Lord, every time we're worshiping you, Lord, we're worshiping the one whose heart breaks and grieves for those who are hurting around the world. Make us people who love your world the way you love it. And Father, as we come to understand what it is for greater days to be ahead, Lord, you are moving in our midst in powerful ways. Show us what it is to take all of that and continue to turn it towards you and never in any way be self-centered, Lord, selfish in any way. We want to live for you as you show us how, Lord, you are doing a new thing among us. Holy Spirit, come and guide us now, I pray, in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Amen. We're really having amazing testimonies and new things God is doing. I had the opportunity this week, two couples in the past week who 3 months ago were on the verge of divorce and came up to me this last week and were telling me all these amazing new things, how God's restored their marriage and done these amazing miracles. And yeah, praise the Lord. And let's never forget that the most important miracle God ever does is not in the physical body, although that's a beautiful expression of his love and power. It's always in our heart. It's always the miracle of forgiveness, the miracle of peace that he wants to put in our hearts. And as he does that, we want to look at this fact, because this isn't like a slogan. I'm not trying to like pump you up in some way. I'm trying to declare what the gospel says, that in Christ, there are always greater days. That's a biblical fact. That's not sentiment. And we want to look at the Gospel of John, because the Gospel of John is all about Jesus coming and declaring that he actually says twice in the Gospel of John, you're about to see greater things and you're about to do greater things. And he also, throughout the Gospel of John, it's all built around the idea that Jesus is greater than the thing you think is greatest. Now, it's coming from a Jewish world, so in John 1, we get the declaration that he is the Word and he's coming, and then we start seeing him. We're going to look at John 1 and how he starts bringing disciples in, and then John 2 through 10 is all about how Jesus is greater than everything they think is great. So you get the wedding of Cana, right? And it's like, why are you saving the best wine for last? Because when Jesus shows up, it gets better. All right, greater comes. We get to the temple. Everybody thinks the temple's great, and Jesus says, I'm the temple. I'm the one that this is all about. Heaven touches earth when it comes through me. We see him go through the Passover holiday, and what is he there? He declares, who's greater? Me. I, and he declares himself, I and the Father are one. He's blowing away everybody's idea of what is great and saying, I am greater. And in the beginning of John, as he goes through this, what's one of the interesting things about the book of John is every time he does a miracle, everybody's got to decide whether they believe or not. So what you're going to find, it's in your notes, is that the key theme of the Gospel of John is believe. And as a matter of fact, in John 20, 31, the writer of John actually tells you why he wrote the book. He said, all these things are written so that you will believe in Jesus. So I'm going to invite you this week to actually look at all the ideas of believing, because this is why the gospel is. And we're supposed to believe in the good news of Jesus being greater than anything that we think is great in our life. So in other words, whether we think any situation, any mistake, any injustice of the world is great, we want to understand and know that Jesus is greater. And in Jesus, there are greater days ahead. So we're going to look at that together. Now, I love that Jesus uses Nathanael to kick off this story through John as he's writing it. Because here's Nathanael. Nathanael, this guy who is, he's just, I mean, you can't impress him. He is not into hype. He's not into pretense. He's not all that interested if everybody else is excited about something. Jesus, we'll read, says, there's an Israelite in whom there is no God. Like, this guy, man, he's not like, just because everybody else is excited, doesn't mean he's going to be excited. All right? He is a guy who says, either show it in the word or leave me alone. All right? Because I just want to know God. I want the real thing. I don't want anything false. I think a bunch of us in this room, sometimes we've heard in the past, God saying there's great days ahead. We get disappointed. We're going to talk about why we get disappointed in a minute. But what we really need to do is, so we start becoming a little cynical, like a little skeptical. Like, all right, well, this story in the beginning of John sets up the idea of what great is about. Because here's the concept that I really want to address today. All of us hear a word, and we all have different definitions for that word because we all have different experiences. We talk a lot about this in membership class. If you remember, we're a diverse congregation, Jesus at the center. So I say, hey, we're going to say words like worship. And everybody's going to have a different picture in their head about when Cornerstone worships. We're going to say words like prayer. We're going to say words about joy and power. And in you, you've gotten a certain definition of them because you've had certain experiences. Well, Jesus comes and he says the word greater. What do you think in your mind? Because Jesus has a word. He has an idea of what that means. Words are important, and our definitions of them are important. Now, I have learned this, that in relationship, unless we come to common definition, we can never have unity. If we want to have unity with Jesus, we got to understand what he means, all right? In my marriage, there is one word that I discovered that my wife and I were not on the same page about. We had different definitions. It's the word D-O-G, dog, okay? My wife said, let's get a dog. I thought, yeah, let's get a dog. I did not realize we had very definitions about what having a dog was about, okay? Because we came from very different families. Now, you'll just have to forgive me if you're just a wonderful animal lover, okay? I love my dog, right? But here's the deal. In my family growing up, we grew up really poor, and our dog was a little higher than furniture in our family order of importance, okay? I'm just saying, all right? I'm not saying we don't love him. I'm just saying he's just a little higher than furniture, okay? Now, some of you know my wife's family. In my wife's family, the dog is a little higher than children, okay? All right? Just that's where the dog gets. Dog gets bacon, steak, all right? I mean, thousands of dollars in medical coverage, the dog, all right? You'll deal with it. Take a Tylenol. You'll be fine, all right? Dog, let's take him to the vet. All right. So my wife and I said, we were early on in marriage, let's get a dog. I said, yeah, that's a great idea. We never fought about anything more in our marriage than that dog. We fought about that thing all the time. I'm like, why are you doing it? I don't want to sleep with the dog. Put it in, you know, what's going on? No, I mean, it was crazy because we had two very different definitions of what it meant to have a dog, all right? Now look, Jesus begins, yeah, it felt good to confess that, thank you. Jesus says the word greater. All right, do we have the same definition? I want us to look at it together. John chapter 1, we're going to start here in verse 43. Jesus found Philip and said to him, follow me. Now, Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael. Nathanael, we'll find out in John 20, is from Cana. And said to him, we have found him of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. Philip's a friend. It's like, Nathanael, get excited. Nathanael's response, can anything good come out of Nazareth? Why is Nathanael thinking that? Because Nathanael studies the scripture, and he knows that Messiah is going to come from Bethlehem, and he doesn't know any background of Jesus. So he's like, I'm glad, Philip, you're all excited about that? Yeah, I don't think so. All right? And what happens here, Philip says to him, well, I'll tell you what. Why don't you say the words with me? Come and see. Now, the word see is also a very important image in the whole Gospel of John, because the whole idea is there's a dark world filled with sin. No one can see the truth about who Jesus is and what God is. And so this idea of seeing is going to be constantly woven through the whole Gospel. And what John is kind of declaring is, look, when you're not even sure what you believe, at least do what? Come and see. So all of you did great today. Pat yourself on the back. You came and see today, all right? Like, I'm not sure how I'm feeling today. I'm not sure what Jesus is. I'm going to come and see what God is going to do. Jesus, now notice the imagery continues, sees Nathanael coming toward him and says, behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom there is no deceit. Jesus is giving him a little credit right now. He's saying, hey, I know you, Nathanael. I know you're not into hype. You're not into, like, the latest trend. You're not, just because a crowd's all excited about something, I mean, you're excited about it. Like, I get it. You want to be true. You want to be true to your faith, and there's no deceit in you. There's no image. You're not posturing. You just want the real thing. And then Nathanael turns back and says, how do you know me? Like, how do you already know who I am? And Jesus answered him, before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you. Nathanael answered him, Rabbi, teacher, you are the Son of God, the King of Israel. Now, in the Jewish culture, to be under a fig tree was to be in prayer and meditation. So what Jesus is saying is like, Nathanael, I get you. I get that you want the truth. I get that you're not interested in any hype or any kind of like just cause, you know, just any fads or trends. Like, you want the real thing. I get that. And Nathanael's blown away. He's like, oh, you see me? First principle, obviously, is if we're ever going to understand who God is, if we're going to see him, we need to know he sees us. Like, he knows where we're at. He knows what we're going through. And Nathanael experiences it, that God knows where I am. And he says, okay, this is God. Now, notice what he says. You're the King of Israel. He doesn't call him the King of the world because he's an Israelite. All that matters is Israel. So it's going to be interesting because he's going to start following Jesus and he's going to run into some dude who collects taxes for the Romans. All right? Not going to think too highly of that dude, right? But all of a sudden, because he's following Jesus and he's in new season, he's having some new relationships, and those relationships are going to turn out to be really important. He finishes up with what we're going to just drill down on here at the end of today. Jesus answered him, because I said to you, I saw you under the fig tree, do you believe? Well, you will see greater things than these. And Jesus said to him, truly, truly, I say to you, you will see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man. That verse, verse 51, Jesus is speaking Nathanael's language. Nathanael knows the scripture. That is a reference to Genesis 28, where Jacob, who becomes Israel, the founder of the nation, has the moment where he has the vision of heaven opening up, and the ladder of God saying, hey, I'm going to make a way for heaven to touch earth and earth to touch heaven. So he's speaking Nathanael's language here as we get going. And whenever God moves as powerfully as he's moving among us in miracles and testimonies, as your pastor, I'm always going to push us real hard to the Word of God. Because as we see God do great things, we want to not have the tendency to start making it about ourselves. We want to turn that back around, press right back into the Word, and make sure we're following him really close. Because if he's doing this, guess what he's going to do next? If we stay hungry for his Word. So here's what I see. That there's a principle here. Jesus says, you will see greater things, and then he repeats the phrase, you will see, as his way of defining what Jesus is thinking of when he says greater. Everybody with me? So here we go. We're just going to take three points that I think are very important for you and me in the day we live in. All right, what does Jesus mean by greater things? The first is this. Greater means you will see the promises of the Bible come true in your life. All right, here's what Jesus starts out with. Jesus says, Nathanael, if you're excited that I know you, you're about to see greater things. And what's the first thing Jesus mentions? A scripture verse. a promise in the Word of God that's about to come true. He says, you're about to see what was promised in the Old Testament lived out in the New. And anytime God begins something new in us, it begins and it ends with the Word of God. All right? It doesn't begin with your feelings. It doesn't begin with, well, they're pretty excited over there. It doesn't matter if those person got a lot of money over there. It always begins and ends in the Scripture. And what you and I want to do is when God begins something new, and I'm telling you, He's already begun it, we want to get closer to the Word, because greater days are when we say, that just happened in my family. Like that Bible verse, just like that, what God promised, that's going on in my marriage now. That's at my work. Like, that's a greater day. A greater day isn't I got what I want. A greater day isn't everybody does what I want. A greater day is when the Word of God gets into my life in a way that says, I didn't just take care of my circumstance. I just changed. I just saw the world really different. I just saw how the promise of God actually lives out. Because here's what greater is not. Greater, and all my Disney people, I'm just mourning for you right now, okay? Greater is not about your dreams coming true. Because guess what? Too small. Way too small. Your dreams? Way too small. And one of the reasons they're too small is because your dreams are about you. God's dream is about the world. And when His word comes true, you don't just get what you want. The world gets what it needs. And you don't just get what you want. You become someone you've never been. Because guess what? When your need gets answered, guess what's going to happen tomorrow? You're going to have another one. And then you're going to have another need after that. And someone else is going to treat you bad. And it's going to be a tough moment. And there's going to be injustice in this world. And if all God does in your life is give you what you want, but never change you into who you need to be, you're going to be playing the same record again and again and again and again. And no offense, we love you, but that's going to get a little tiresome, all right? Like, how about remembering that Ephesians 3:20, there's a God up in heaven who wants to do, you cannot measure it more than what you think or can imagine. Like, He's got more than that in store. But it starts and ends in the Word of God. Last week we said, when a new season begins in our life, God gives us a fresh routine. We start doing things a little different. And God gives us a new revelation. And that revelation is not something we've never known. It's something we've been overlooking that we need to do differently. And I'm telling you what, the revelation from this pulpit this morning is the Word of God cannot be overlooked. Can't be overlooked. Like, fresh way, fresh Word. And what we want to do together is we want to say yes. So, if the Scripture says that faith comes from hearing in the Word of God, as we continue to hear the Word, we want to say, I want to change my routine and my life in such a way that the Word of God is what I'm seeing come true. And I can't see it come true if I don't know what it is. All right? So here's what we're going to do as a church family. This is where Pastor Sean internally would like to jump through the roof. I'm so excited about this coming up, but this is all you get this morning. So here we go. In December and January of this year, we're going to get ready to read the Bible through all of 2018. But here's how we're going to do it. When you get to Leviticus, you're actually going to understand what you're reading. Hallelujah. Yeah, that's what's going to happen. Because what we're going to do is we're going to do something called the Bible Project. And the Bible Project, you can Google it online. It's amazing, all right? It is visual storytelling and teaching of the Bible. And what there is a schedule for reading that doesn't just tell you to read verses. It actually, alongside of each important section, theme, or change in the story, it's got like a 5 to 7 minute video that actually explains what in the world you're about to read. All right? You're actually going to understand it. It's going to be amazing. You literally, at the end of 2018, you're going to have like a PhD in the Bible. It's going to be pretty exciting, all right? I don't think anyone starts talking in King James. You don't have to do that, all right? But it's going to be good. So what we're going to do is because January 1 always starts and everybody's like, oh, what are we doing? And 3 days later, you're behind in your Bible reading already. We're going to take Advent this year. And the theme of Advent this year, to get up to Christmas, is going to be the Word became flesh. And we're going to talk in December about the gift of Jesus is always through His Word, and His Word continues in the world. And what we're going to do is all those weeks, we're going to get you ready that on day one of January, man, you are going to read the Word. And you're going to know it, and it's going to make sense to you, and it's going to get fresh revelation, and you're going to see the promises of God start coming true. And guess what you're going to say? I think my life got a little greater. That's what you're going to say, all right? So I can't wait to show you. I'm going to show you something in a minute here. Let's look at this. Why is this so important to you? I think it's pretty obvious. Look, you're surrounded by a world where people don't see the truth or speak the truth. And I'm not saying everybody's got an agenda. I'm just saying the theme of the Gospel of John is it's a dark world and light comes into it. Like nobody can see until Jesus shows them what it is. And every day you wake up, you've got to choose the Word of God to focus on, because if you go by anything else, you're going to be living in darkness. So let me show you one of the very first, I'm going to show you a minute and a half of the very first video, one of the very first videos when you start the Bible reading program, January 1. Here it is.
The Bible's an important book, but it's really long.
Yeah, it's a collection of many books written over a long period of time, but altogether they tell one unified story.
So, what's the story of the Bible?
Well, it begins by introducing us to a beautiful mind, the author of all reality, a being called God. And He has the power to take the dark chaos of the uncreated world and bring about order and beauty and a garden full of life.
And to crown this accomplishment, God appoints these creatures called humanity,
or in Hebrew, Adam.
And they're made as God's image.
Which means that they're commissioned to rule this beautiful world on God's behalf by harnessing all of its potential and creating even more beauty and order.
This is a story about humans using their power to do meaningful, life-giving work. But the question is, how?
Yeah, humanity now faces a choice that's represented by a fruit tree. So humans could partner with God and find freedom by trusting in His knowledge of good and evil.
Or
they could seize power and define good and evil on their own, which, God warns, will kill them.
And they hear the voice of a dark, mysterious creature that tells them the choice is simple. Take the fruit. It'll give you power and freedom to rule the world on your own terms.
And so they seize this knowledge, and as a result, they become suspicious and self-protective. It leads to fractured relationships, violent power grabs, and ultimately, a whole civilization, Babylon.
Wow. Yeah, it's going to be really, really good. Every day, you get a choice to live out Genesis 3 again, because that's what they're referring to. Every day, you wake up, how am I going to live this day? Am I going to listen to God and let Him define good and evil for me? Am I going to choose to partner with Him for meaningful work? Or am I going to grab power, grab my own definitions of good and evil, and decide how I'm going to make it through this day? You do that every day you live. You have a Genesis 3 moment every morning. And what I want to encourage you to do is every day when you start off, instead of saying the first thing that will define my reality is Fox, CNN, ESPN, you know, whatever social media tweet feed you're on, if you would instead say that is not going to be my first definition of today. My first definition of what is good and evil today and what is right and wrong and what I should be about is going to be the Word of God. If you make that decision, you get to reverse the curse of Genesis 3. This day, you say, God, I'm not responsible for thousands of years of a lot of people, but today, this Adam, this human right here, we're going to do it your way today. All right? Then we're going to invite the Holy Spirit to take and move in that Word and do something different. But that's what we do together. So that's December and January. I mean, get ready. It's going to be amazing next year. It's going to be greater days ahead by a mile and a half. But what you can do right now today is you'll see that in the outline, I have listed, I couldn't even list all the key verses of believe in the Gospel of John. But what I will invite you to do is every day this week, start your day off with one of the verses about believing. About Jesus saying, do you believe? The choice and what it means to believe. And what I want to encourage you to do is just start every day in Genesis 3 before the fall and say, this Adam, this human right here, I'm gonna choose you, and I'm not going to grab hold of my own way of doing things. Amen? It's good. All right. That's my longest point. Here, let's wrap. Let's get through the other two. Here we go. Greater means you will see God's people come into and change your own life. Jesus references Genesis 28, and the whole idea is heaven is finally open up, and now God's messengers, angels, are coming down into your life, into this world. All right? Jesus shows in the Gospel of John that God isn't just primarily concerned about angels. He's actually concerned about the Son of Man coming. And in John 3:16, we get, for God so loved the world that he sent who? His only begotten Son. Well, at the end of the Gospel of John, what does Jesus say? Everybody else? As the Father has sent me, I am now sending you. So here's the thing. When God loves somebody, he sends people to them. Now, the first person he sends is Jesus, and that's the best. After that, everybody else is a little inferior quality than him, okay, by a good bit, but we still have something to offer. So I want you to think of the word grace and good relationships as synonyms, because the Bible tells us in 1 Peter 4 that everyone should use the gift that God gave them that they received to serve others faithfully, administering what? God's grace in its various forms. People are meant to be that new work in our lives. And anytime God gives you a new season, he's always bringing new relationships into your life. So I want to encourage you, say yes to them. Now remember Nathaniel. Nathaniel probably thought, oh, greater days, greater relationships. I guess I'm going to be really tight with the high priest by the time this is over. Like, he only thought in his context. He only thought in his world of what he thought was important. But Jesus introduces him to this guy, Matthew, who in Nathaniel's eyes is the biggest traitor of all. He's scum. This guy was a Jew who decided to turn and serve the Romans in their oppression of Israel. And guess who Matthew and Nathaniel become? They become friends that experience miracles together, that see the resurrected Christ together, that suffer the tragedy of the crucifixion together, that experience Pentecost together. Nathaniel, in all his life, would have never imagined Matthew was important to him. But I want to tell you, you and I have the same ability to think greater and only think about the type of people we already know. And what we need to do is say, maybe greater is people that I don't even usually think about. I mean, one of the key passions of this church is people should look in this church and think, what are all those different people doing in the same room? All right? Love one another. Well, how are they loving one another? How are they growing from each other? They, in our world, these people don't think these people are important. Yeah, in the kingdom of God, we do greater than that. We have greater days than that. We have greater relationship than that. We don't just love deeply who we already know. We love people that the world says we shouldn't love at all. All right? So I want you to hear that. Obviously, where'd we go? Can you get, right there, thank you. We're starting off small groups. We got 40 small groups starting off this next week, okay? Next Sunday is a small group fair. You can go right to our website, cornerstone.ag, hit that, it's the first thing that shows up is small groups. Click on it, look through, sign up for one, or just get info. Next Sunday, we're going to have a small group fair here. After service, there's going to be food, all right, downstairs. And you can also buy your very own Greater Days Ahead t-shirt, which, by the way, are in English and Spanish, all right? It's going to be awesome. And I want to encourage you, be careful when you think about small groups. Oh, you know those people. No. Remember the lesson of Nathaniel. Nathaniel had to be someone who said, maybe there's some new people that should be important to my life. So be willing to try a small group that gets you out of your comfort zone some. All right, good? All right, and why is this important to you? Please know this. This is wisdom coming to you right here. If your relationships haven't changed, you have not changed. I'm telling you this truth, okay? If your relationships haven't changed, you haven't changed. The ones you've already got, you should love better. You should also be adding some new ones, and you should be dropping a few, okay? If your relationships haven't changed, you haven't changed. God uses new relationships to bring new truth, grace to us. Turn to your neighbor, say, I'm glad you're an important relationship in my life. Just say it however you want. Say, yo, bro, hey, whatever. Okay, here we go, moving on. All right, so next Sunday, small group fair. Last one, wrapping up. Greater means you will see God do the impossible in the world around you. Last one, here we go. Love the turning of the pages. Greater means you will see God do the impossible in the world around you. Look, Christianity is not a set of rules to manage a nice life. It's not what Christianity is. Christianity is an impossible vision of what life can be that only comes from God. All right? Impossible. Now, I want you to think about Nathanael. Nathanael, church tradition says he dies martyred in India for the gospel. That's what church tradition says about Nathanael, who, by the way, in the synoptics is referenced as Bartholomew. I don't think at the end of Nathanael's life he said, my life was greater because I got super comfy in Jerusalem. I think his life is greater because he said, I lived with courage in faith in a place I had no idea how to live. And I want you to think about your life, okay? I want you to think, at the end of your life, what do you want to say about your life? Man, the longer my life went and the more money I got comfortable. I got really comfortable. Man, I was going to heaven, and when I was sick, I was so comfortable, it was crazy, all right? It's just like, is that the goal of the end of this life, or is the end of this life to say, I lived with courage. I lived a little bigger. I lived a little bit out of my comfort zone in a way that, man, I lived a courageous life. And I'm telling you what, that when Christ calls you, you don't get more money to set yourself up to be more comfortable. You get more money to set yourself up to be more courageous, all right? You don't get position. You don't get ministry. You don't get titles. You don't get influence so you can make your life more comfortable. You get those things so you can be more courageous for the one who gave his life for you. That's life. That's how you want to finish. You want to finish living a courageous life, and that's a greater life. When the impossible happens through you. Now, I want you to hear this. Here's the tension of the Christian faith. The tension of the Christian faith is, God, I want to have integrity, and I want to base it on the Word of God, and at the same time, I know you can be out of the box and blow me out of the water anytime you want to. That's the tension of it all right? And Nathanael's our guide. Nathanael's like a me. I grew up, for those of you who understand the terms, in Pentecostal charismatic circles. There, we saw lots of big stuff. And sometimes I saw people really not love each other well. And so my deal was like, look, this has got to be based on the Word of God, not people's ups and downs. I get that. But what you and I, all my Nathanaels in the room, okay, we need to be careful that our desire for integrity doesn't turn into cynicism, all right? That it doesn't say, I mean, does Nathanael have any clue that the cross is going to be as painful and ugly as it is? Does he have any clue that Pentecost is going to be so out of the box, and where's the order and who's doing what? Like, does he have any clue? You and I, for the Nathanaels in the room, okay, we need to be careful that our theology is correct. And our theology is God and we are not. All right? And sometimes God says, by the way, this is what I want to do. Get ready for it. What was Nathanael's error? Nathanael's error, though, he knew the Word well. He wasn't omniscient about the world around him. So he didn't know Jesus was born in Bethlehem. So he just said, oh, Jesus of Nazareth? Yeah, no. Okay? And missed it, almost missed it, because of the way he loved the Word of God in such a way that he loved the Word, but then he said, I am the supreme all-knowing one of how I interpret everything. We got to be careful with that. We use the Word of God. We use the faith of God's people together. But you and I who are Nathanaels in the room, last week we had a service where we went long in worship and went straight to the altar, and then I kind of gave a five-minute sermon. Why? Because God can do that. God's allowed to do that. God's allowed to say, guess what? Today, my goal is just to blow you out of the water, okay? Just a little reality check of who's God and who's not. Let's just keep it fresh. Let's keep it real. So what I want you to say, what I'm trying to say in this is, look, you and I should never stop wanting everything from God. And we got to stay in the integrity of the Word. But then, man, we've got to be ready to say, Lord, however you want to do it, it's yours. All right? We've got to. I want Pentecost. I want the power of the Holy Spirit in my life. I want to be used by you. I don't want to finish this life and say, I got super comfortable. I want to finish this life saying, I got really courageous because of the Holy Spirit living through me. So I don't know where your first step is in that. I don't know where courage takes you. I don't know if it's in worship, raising your hands, or coming to your altar, or saying some prayer. What I want to encourage you, though, is you and I need to be people that don't worry about being successful in this world. We need to worry about changing the world. You ever hear this saying that says, I spent all my life climbing the ladder of success only to discover it was leaning up against the wrong wall? All right, it's like Jesus said, what good is it for a man to gain the whole world and yet lose or forfeit his very self? Jesus is saying, why, the thing that needs to change, why are you depending on that for your definition of success? Like our goal, greater is not I get more successful. Greater is in the world. The goal is God use me to change the world. That's the goal. That takes courage. So you and I need to do that together. Now, we're going to, in October, we're going to do a series called This is Jesus. And what I want to do in this series is I want to make sure that people are hearing who Jesus really is, not all the religion, tradition they've heard. And so you got to pray for me because I really want to do it well. And I want people to fall in love with the true Savior and the amazing message of truth and grace he has. And what we're going to need, that's going to start in October. So in the next 2 weeks, we're going to start asking you to get ready to invite your friends. And what we want you to do is say, hey, if you want to know who Jesus is, here's where you find it. So we're going to take the month of October into November, and what we're going to do is we're going to declare who Jesus really is, and hopefully in a way that astounds people, because his story really is awe-inspiring. So we're going to do that. What you can do right now is you can start spreading his hope through, what does God do every time he does something new at Cornerstone? Wristband. All right. So as you leave today, you get your Greater Days Ahead wristband, and you also get your Greater Days Ahead encouragement cards. And here's what I want you to do. You're only allowed to take 2 wristbands, okay? You can't take everybody one for the office. Next week you can if we have leftovers, all right? But what I want you to do is take one for you, one for somebody else that you want to give it to. And the reason we do this is your visible reminder that this is not a Sunday morning thing. This is I'm living this out every day thing, all right? And so someone, man, give it away and take some. But what we're also going to do is you can take as many of these as you want. And on one side it says, Greater Days Ahead. And the other side it says this, Jesus promised greater days ahead for our community, families, and hearts. Healing of our past and hope for our future is found in him. And then it just gives it gives the information about the church if they want to check it out. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to take these cards, take as many as you want, and man, give them out to your friends. And be like, you don't gotta run to the back of the card about the church. Just say, hey, man, our church, we're focusing. I mean, God speak about greater day ahead. I want you to remember this. Hey, stick it on your desk or in your car or on your mirror or wherever. Just remember it. And now I'm one of them, super uptight, A-plus type of students. I know you're out there. Okay, for all of you, one a day. You've got to hand out at least one a day. Okay, for my other type of students who are out there, one or two over the week would be great. I mean, just, try, okay? Hit a goal. I don't know what goal you want. But look, one of the things I say, it's on there, it's like, set personal salvation without community transformation is just religious selfishness. Personal salvation without community transformation is just you thinking about you. All right? And that's not what Jesus did. That's not the model he gave. So I want to encourage you. You're going to get your wristbands. You're going to get your thing. Jesus finishes all this. And by the way, and I love the last few words, on the Son of Man. It all centers on him. It's all about him. It's always about him. That's why Jesus gave us communion. It's our reminder that it's all about him. I think communion does 3 things for us. It helps us stop in the middle of a world that's getting us to start think about greater differently. And what it does is it says, let me remember Jesus. Let me redefine my priorities because I got them out of whack over the past few days. And then let me re-enter the world to live for him. So what we're going to do is in a minute, the ushers are going to distribute communion. Would you hold the communion pieces and not take it yet until we take it together? But I asked Pastor Brandon, there's a song, some of you probably already know it. I think it's a really important song about having faith in the greater days ahead. And I asked Pastor Brandon if he'd just kind of play it for us, sing it for us. If you know it, you can sing along. At the end of communion, we'll sing it together as a final act of worship. Greater days ahead. It's a biblical fact. We've got to make sure that we don't define it according to our wants. If you have ever been in church and you trusted in Jesus and you got disappointed, let me submit to you humbly that what happened was you weren't trusting in the promises of God. You were trusting in some sort of version of the world of what you hoped God was going to do. And what happened was that didn't happen. And so then you thought, I guess I can't trust God. I guess God's not faithful. What God is inviting you and me into today is a redefinition, a restart of what it looks like to trust in Him, to believe for greater things, to do greater things. Say, God, give me your definition for greater, and I'll trust you with the rest. So I'm going to invite Pastor Brandon to lead us. And would you take a few moments to stop and remember what Christ did and let Him define what great is in your life? Ushers, if you come forth, distribute the elements. Sometimes for greater things to happen, some things have to break. But when they break, God has promised to be with us. And He has promised to be faithful. And I want you to know today that the reminder of this communion is things can break and you can still be victorious. That you're not breaking because life is getting less. You're breaking because greater days are ahead. And God is bringing you past the old to the new. And so, being thankful for that truth, would you now receive the body of Christ broken for you? Would you stand as we remember the cup of Christ's blood shed for us? This blood is not only a reminder, this cup reminds us of the blood that's shed as forgiveness, but it's also a covenant cup. In other words, it's a cup that God says, I will be faithful to you. I'll be faithful to you. And so this morning, trusting that greater days are ahead, that new seasons have begun, that we don't see it all yet, but God's promises are going to be true, that He's going to bring the right people and even the right problems into our life so He can demonstrate what it is for Him not only to love us, but to Him to use us to change the world around us. Would you hold that cup high? Lord Jesus, thank you for your faithfulness. We receive it now in Jesus' name. And everyone said, would you receive? Pastor Brandon's going to lead us in the final moment of worship.